Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swann, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really amazing thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. After nearly 17 years in the film business, she elected to follow her passion and in 2000 entered into the field of interior design. A mix of both periods and styles, as well as a generous use of color, distinguish her design aesthetic. When asked to define her personal style, she responds that it is rooted in the traditional, but has evolved over the years into a slightly surrealist realm, with playfulness as a constant element. Her line of luxury lighting and home products debuted in 2007, which is now represented by over a dozen to-the-trade showrooms across the United States, as well as in Dubai. Her design work and products have been featured in every major shelter publication in America, as well as numerous publications worldwide. She was born a fourth-generation San Franciscan and was raised between San Francisco and Los Angeles with a two-year sojourn on the island of Corfu in Greece, an experience that certainly shaped her destiny. She shares her life with her true love, Bruno, her glorious daughter, India, and their three dachshunds, all of whom are about to embark on a new adventure in Merida, the Yucatan, Mexico, where they're restoring an historical house and opening a new studio and boutique. Turns out she's quite busy making the world more beautiful. Marjorie Scoras, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you. I am so delighted to be back with you again. I so enjoy your company.
Well, it's a delight to get to speak with you again. Since we first spoke on a Skype interview, we've spent time together at High Point, and that was an exciting adventure. And now you're off on a new wonderful adventure, which I know you're going to tell us all about. But before you do that, Marjorie, I would love if you would take us back and tell us the story of how you came into the world of design, maybe back even as far as when you first fell in love with the world of design.
My goodness. That would be dating me. I would have to say that it's genetic. Truly, that I come from a long line of women, and some men, on both sides who were, very interested in their environments and very heavily influenced by their travels, and who all loved beautiful things, and were fortunate enough to be able to, you know, enact their fantasies and that, I think that and it's not just me. My mother's a very, very well-known decorator, has been for 45 years. My sister Tina, who was the fashion editor at Vanity Fair and transitioned into decorating, has a big company now. My sister-in-law runs the interior design department of the Academy of Art in San Francisco, and my youngest sister is also an interior designer in Los Angeles. So I'm not the only one that was, you know, that was bitten by the bug. But I would say that when I was little, I mean, surely I remember all those fabulous places that my grandparents lived. But when I was about 10, I remember very clearly being taken to Tony Duquette's studio in Los Angeles for a party. And it was an extraordinary kind of moment. And my mom at the time was just starting to you know, really work at it. And she was very young, and I was sort of more like a friend to hang around with. And she used to actually say to me, do you feel like going to school today, or do you want to come with me? And I would say most of the time, yeah, I want to go with you. So I think I missed like half of the sixth grade, for real. And we used to go to Ed's Coffee Shop on Robertson Boulevard for lunch and have grilled cheese and brownies. And I remember the smell of the workrooms. You know, all of the people are long gone now. And I think that probably is, you know, sort of the genesis of all of it, if there is such a thing.
That's a pretty honest way to come into the business, is when your family is so deeply involved. And yet, at a point in time, you went in a different direction, didn't you?
I did, and I look back and I kind of wonder how that happened. all of the roads have led to Rome is the best thing I can tell you. But, you know, all the parts of my life have come together at this very moment, which is very interesting for me to be able to recognize. But, I did. I thought I was going to go get a film degree at UCLA, and I started out in the film department and realized that that was not going to be it for me. And then I shifted to art history, which I thoroughly enjoyed with a heavy emphasis on pre-Columbian art, which is also interesting. And I was offered an internship, by a very good independent film company owned by, A&M Records at the time, when I was a senior, and I took it, and then they offered me a job, and I took that. And then one sort of step led to the other, and 17 years later, I found myself hating the whole, the end of the business that I ended up in, and I was very much wanting to do this, and I had an opportunity, to give it a try, and I did, and that was in 2000. And lo and behold, within 4 months, it was like a real business.
Wow. So your whole life changed after investing 17 years in another industry.
Completely. 100%.
And you've not looked back.
No. I optioned a book that you can never kind of, get the gum off your shoe. I optioned a book that's set actually where, the town in which I'm sitting now. But I don't have it in me to do it all. So my friend now owns the option on the book. And no, I don't look back. I don't look back. I had stopped going to the movies. I see over 1,000 movies a year when I was in acquisitions. It's a lot of movies. And now I find that I really stop going to the movies and looking at movies and stuff. I'm back into watching movies sometimes till 5 o'clock in the morning when I can. Hmm. But I don't want to make them.
Right. Well, if it's just, an observation from a casual observer, it looks like you've stumbled onto something that's really working well for you. This whole design thing's worked out nicely, wouldn't you say?
How do we say this correctly? Yes, I feel incredibly, incredibly, incredibly fortunate and blessed to be able to do something that I truly love. And I think that's a big part of it. I'm reading a book, and I will share it with all of you, that anybody who is a creative soul or who would like to be a creative soul, I don't know if you've read this book, called Big Magic, and written by Liz Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and observations on leading a creative life without fear. And it's very interesting because there's a difference that she pointed out is that fearlessness is not what you need. You need to be brave. And it came with its own set of conundrums and problems because you don't know. It's not like you're a lawyer. So you don't know if it's going to work or people are going to like it or whatever. You just throw yourself into it and, display your passion and try to remain open to the channels of creativity flow. And yes, I feel incredibly, incredibly lucky that it has worked. And the more it worked, the more exciting it became and the more enthused I became, and then the bigger it got.
And if we look at the sort of the trajectory of that design career, even within that, there's been an evolution in the last few years, hasn't there? Where you've moved from doing interiors for clients full time into something that's more resembling full time product design. Is that correct?
It is. 100% so at this point. I find that I enjoy the product much more, and I was an agent in the film business for writers and directors, which honed my sales skills, and I very much enjoy selling and promoting my own product, and people respond. So yes, our focus is 100% on the product at this point and expanding it to encompass a larger horizon, which includes the launch of our new home accessories line, which is called Vedette, which is just now rolling out, which is fun. And then to, I hope, multiply our licensing arrangements and which I also thoroughly enjoy, because it takes away the headache of production, which I will tell you 100% is a headache. And yes, I mean, the focus of the business going forward will be this.
That's pretty exciting, if you ask me, because there's so much that's out there that, you know, you see this, you see that. But I can tell you that when I see a piece by you, it jumps off the page or it jumps off the showroom floor as something that's fresh and unique. So congratulations to you. What is it like then creating? Well, let me rephrase this question. Is it creating in a vacuum when you're sitting in your studio or whatever your creative space is, creating an item and not knowing how it's going to be responded to by the public? What is that like?
Well, for the most part, I don't create in my studio. I create between 4 and 6 in the morning in a half kind of dream state.
Wow.
And then, yeah, then the mechanics, obviously, you know, come into play in the studio.
Sure.
It's weird. We've been very fortunate in the, you know, the response has been terrific to, I would say, 90% of the stuff that I've made, that, you know, that we've created. There have been a couple of misses that I thought were really fabulous. Sometimes, though, it takes a couple of years for something to be noticed or recognized,
right,
and then it will have its own moment. So there are two pieces that I just don't understand that I think are really fabulous that haven't really clicked. And they may yet. Right? You've got to have patience.
Or what do they say? The fat lady hasn't sung yet?
Exactly. And I can't sing, so there you go.
There you go. Well, so you've got other things, though, that you're working on, too. I mean, the business is obviously a full-time job, but you're also working on a home restoration project. Can you tell us about that, Marjorie?
With enormous pleasure, and I happen to be sitting here this afternoon in Mérida, which will be our new home, as of July 2017. And we were fortunate enough to be able to buy a prominent historical home from, I was reading about it, it's from the Porfirio Diaz period, so it would be from sort of 1875 to 1906, 1910. That's marvelous. It's not colonial. The original room was probably from the colonial period, but the rest of it is very heavily influenced by European, French specifically.
Mm.
And the house has... many of the rooms have the original stencils from the Beaux-Arts period, which would have been right before the revolution.
Right.
They're exquisite. And a lot of the original floors. And yes, I spent the morning there. And it's incredibly thrilling. It is the fulfillment of my life's dream. And it's amazing to be able to have the experience to do it. I've wanted to live in Mexico really since I was about 20. And to be able to have this sort of a house is also extraordinary. And we're having a great time. It's a wonderful place in terms of the artisans and the crafts and the materials. And as I mentioned, they're very famous for their floors. Pasta tile is called. They're locally made, and in the period, it's very tropical. You're absolutely right. It's the same, you know, it's right across from Cuba. So it's everything that you imagine the tropics to be, including the heat, the humidity, and the mosquitoes. But the floors are made to look like rugs. And I have to do that this week, is to choose the floors. And there's such an array of choices, it's very difficult to make decisions. They made them to look like rugs because you do not have rugs here. You do not have curtains because of the weather,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a relief for me with 3 small dogs. It's going to be great. But it's endlessly good fun. This morning we spent the morning at the Marble Yard, and I have to tell you, it puts Los Angeles to shame. in terms of the size and variety of the stone. It's exceptional. Really, really, really fabulous. And then the fabricators are amazing.
So basically anything you can design, they can create and install.
That is true. And I happen to be staying, I'll give them a little plug because they're super guys, at a hotel this time. Usually we rent houses, but I'm here alone and I thought it'd be nicer for me to be in a hotel. And I'm trying a new boutique hotel, which is called Villa Verde. And it's magnificent. The original part of the house is 250 years old. They only have 5 rooms. It's a splendid place, really beautiful, really from the period. And they had all of their furniture made here, and they did all of their light fixtures here. That was of great interest for me. So, yes, anything that you can dream up can be made here.
That sounds really exciting and maybe a little daunting for a creative soul. I wouldn't want to stop creating while I was there. I suppose that's the point for you, right?
That's the point for us. Is also, from an economic standpoint, it's a much easier environment in which to experiment, quite frankly. And I think there are great distribution possibilities in Latin America. And I think that it will be – I actually know several, besides Bradley Clifford, Jeffrey Weissman and his partner, with whom we share the showroom in New York, Dennis Miller and Associates – their whole line is created in Mexico now, outside of San Miguel de Allende. So I think there are endless possibilities really, because there's so many new and unique things to source and to work with. It's going to be tremendously great fun. And we will also be having our own, studio and, commercial space and boutique in which I plan to sell all sorts of fun stuff, not only our product and our product for Korean company, but accessories, home accessories, decor, vintage Mexican clothing, vintage Mexican silver. I think it's going to be a really fun moment in our lives.
What an exciting opportunity for you to be dipping your toes in all of these different creative pools and pulling them all together under sort of one brand that you've created. Bravo to you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a fan club here at Million Dollar Decorating, so we will follow your adventures with great, great interest. When you think about all it is that you're doing right now, Marjorie, you're designing, you're manufacturing, you're restoring – what is it about being Marjorie today that is most exciting and pleasing to you?
Well, I think that, as I said, it's a very interesting thing to be able to realize, and I think you have to be a grown-up, unless you're really, really lucky, to understand your life's trajectory and why you did all the things that you've done and where it's led you. And I am at the point that I always wanted to be at with all the experience that I needed for all aspects of it.
Hmm. So you were ready for this next step. And now that you've taken it, it's unfolding beautifully into this wonderful new adventure.
It is. It's very, very exciting.
So flip that coin over for a moment, Marjorie, because we know that life isn't always just the highs and the happy times and the positive things. What's the challenge of being Marjorie today?
Golly. I can't tell you the real truth. what's the challenge? The challenge is, making it all work. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big life change,
yeah.
And we have serious obligations still. It's not like we can run around footloose and fancy free. We have, one in college, one on the way to college. It's not a free for all. It is a serious life choice and decision and a business decision. So making it all work. And there are those days that you don't want to get out of bed because you're so overwhelmed.
Mm.
Sometimes I stay in bed, not very often. But, yeah, it's a lot. There are a lot of balls in the air.
Now, are you one of these people that believes that that you can have it all?
You can. I do believe that.
Okay.
100%. the question is, to have it all is a really serious time commitment. You could ask my husband, who is a big banker in London, what that really means in terms of time. And as we get older, we're not old, certainly, but as we get older, do I want to have that lifestyle? And the answer is no. And that's also part of the reason that we're coming to live here. It is a much different pace. I'd like to be able to have what pleases me, that sustains us, and, you know, that we're comfortable. I no longer feel that enormous drive, that, you know, in the interior design business before 2008, the money was extraordinary. And it, you know, it was amazing. And, but it was also, you know, I would work 12 to 14 hour days. Right. I don't want that anymore. I want to, I mean, people actually have siestas here. It's incredible. You know, it's a much more relaxed way of living and much more civilized, in my opinion, coming from a somewhat European background. It's much more elegant and much more old fashioned, and values are different. Friendships are deeper. There's a lot of it that is very appealing to me. And I think changing our lives in this direction will also free me up from a lot of the stresses of our everyday life in Los Angeles, and to be more creative, you know, to expand on those themes.
Yeah, and to take the dream even further, right?
Possibly.
Possibly, yeah. Wow. I may have to come and join you down there. It sounds pretty appealing.
You know what? I have to tell you, it's very scary because every time we bring a friend down here, and this has happened on numerous occasions, within 24 hours, they want to buy a house.
Oh, my God.
And I actually sent a link to my parents and siblings yesterday. So here's a goal for you to come down, and I think it's in April. If you look it up, it was in the New York Times, I don't know, 10 days, 12 days ago. Noma, the restaurant Noma.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's having a pop-up kitchen. They came here last year to source, and he's doing a pop-up kitchen in the jungle in Tulum in April.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to call, I think, on December 6th. I shouldn't be telling everybody this. December 6th, I think at like 10 in the morning, the lines open up. It's $600 a head. And I said to my husband, you know, there's no bank between here and there to rob, but it might be one of those incredibly unique experiences that you might have to just say, okay, well, we're going to eat tuna for next, like, 2 weeks, and we're going to do this, you know, to be there.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think for, like, a month or 6 weeks, he's bringing his whole staff here.
Wow.
for that. So there are a lot of very – that's another aspect of it. There are a lot of really interesting, very creative people from around the world, literally – who are drawn to this place. There's a magic here of some sort.
That sounds like it. And you're right in the middle of it all. How exciting. How very exciting. Now, Marjorie, when you think of the new house, or the newly restored house that you'll be living in, you said July is the, mm-hmm. the move in. Any thoughts on what's going to be your favorite space in the house? And if so, tell us why.
Oh my God, it's the ultimate fantasy room. You have no idea. Wait till you see. So, Aníbal González, our fabulous architect, found, of course, everybody should buy their bathtub first when they're restoring a house, right? That was very wise.
Of course.
In Mexico City, it's 7 feet by 4 foot, carved from a solid piece of marble in the shape of a clamshell, and it's from the 18th century. I mean, literally, you could have three of your friends in there. My mom said a lot of champagne.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, is right. And so it has its own room off the master bathroom. I was there this morning. We were looking at it and, you know, trying to figure out the height of the walls. And I have a pair. It's gorgeous. It's you know, it's white marble. It's just insanely beautiful. And I have a pair of iron gates, French iron gates, we bought in New Orleans for my 50th birthday from France. And those will be incorporated into the wall that opens onto the back garden with the pool. And we are going to build. I was in Italy 3 weeks ago with my sister and my daughter at the Boboli Gardens in Florence, and we're going to build a grotto, a real grotto, with the drippy cement, no seashells, just the drippy cement, if you go online and look at Boboli Gardens, to cover the shell. And it's in its own space, and it has, I don't know, a 15-foot ceiling, I think.
Wow.
And we just chose the stone this morning for the floors. I think I might just live in there.
I was going to say, that's going to be a very popular room in your house.
I think so.
Now, we hope that you're going to photograph the house when it's done. Is that in the office?
Yeah, it's already been photographed professionally before we started anything, because it was a magnificent ruin in the best sort of sense of the word, untouched, locked up, you know, for 60 years or 70 years or something.
Wow.
And we photographed everything. I think it would be a wonderful project. We talked a little bit with a woman who I like very much, who I've worked with before, about a book project. I don't know if that'll manifest, but absolutely there'll be a great documentation of all of it.
Wonderful.
I've already been approached by some very well-known architectural photographers that I worked with in the past about coming down to photograph it. So absolutely.
How exciting. Well, we will look forward to getting at least a peek into the amazing new home that you're creating. It sounds fabulous. Our listeners at home are always interested in picking up tips on how they can make their homes more beautiful. Share one thing today, Marjorie, that our listeners might do at home today, something immediate that would help make their home more beautiful.
I was thinking about that. Honestly, I mean, my quick fix is always flowers. Mm. They make me really, really happy. I have them all over the place. I'm sitting in our friend's house here where they've got those gigantic, you know, pierced those tropical leaves with the holes and then, you know, the really giant ones.
Yes.
And she's got incredible arrangements on almost every table, massive, not little flowers, big flowers, massive arrangements, ginger in the middle. For me, when I get home from a trip, literally, it's the first thing I do after, like, restocking the fridge is putting flowers in every room.
Yeah. It adds a level of sparkle to any room, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the other thing I was thinking was, you know, not everybody has enough low-level lighting, but that's, I mean, you can do that in a day. But no, the flowers are pretty easy.
They are. They're a great addition to any home, no doubt about that.
Indeed.
Something tells me I know the answer to this, but are you a book lover, Marjorie?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So give us a book recommendation. Something that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover in America.
Did we already talk about Big Magic, or was that?
You did. You mentioned that, and that would certainly qualify. Shall we post that one?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can think of it. I love all of my design books so much. The Madeleine Castaing, the book on Madeleine Castaing, is one that I refer to all the time. Here's a relatively new book of the houses in Merida from Rizzoli that came out in April from Annie Kelly and Tim Street Porter, who are, you know, very, very famous in that world, called Casa Mexicano. That's a gorgeous, 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 very inspirational book. But Big Magic is, you know, for everybody who has that creative kernel within themselves, or she likes to call it jewels, your hidden jewels. It's a wonderful book. It's very freeing of how to express your creative nature and your spirit and to unleash that part of you with and without the fear.
Mm. Love it. We will post a link to that, actually to all three of those books, in the show notes section so that our listeners can add those to their libraries at home. Something tells me a lot of people are going to be thankful for that book recommendation, Big Magic. It sounds like a good one.
It's a good one.
Marjorie, we've come down to the last question. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm, I hope so.
We finish every show with the same question, so let me paint a picture and then get your thoughts. Imagine you wake up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Can there be an IKEA?
Absolutely.
That'd be it.
Mm-hmm. Problem solved, right?
Problem solved. I honestly used to go there all the time when I first started doing this because I was fascinated to see what people were buying and what they were shopping for and why it was so popular. Mm-hmm. And I used to just go there and walk through and look at stuff. And I find that I go there a couple of times a year and come away with a bunch of stuff that I didn't know that I needed before I got there. Mm-hmm. So I would say that for $1,000.
It's a great place to start, right?
Indeed.
Indeed it is. Marjorie Skouras, what a joy to get to speak with you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much always. It's a delight, again, to be included, and I hope to see you very soon.
Likewise. I'll look forward to that. We want to thank our subscribers for tuning into the show today. None of this would mean anything if it weren't for you, so thank you for supporting the show and helping us to grow. Tell your friends about us and have them tune in, too. You can go to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to Marjorie's website so you can follow all of the creative work that she's involved in these days with her new products coming out. We will also post links to the books that she's recommended to us. Big Magic has moved to the top of my list. I know I'll be picking up a copy. I would encourage you to do the same. While you're there on our website, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.